Amen. Father, we thank you so much for drawing us all together on this altar tonight. Thank you for the hunger you put in our hearts for more of you. We thank you because as we behold you, your glory, we are transformed. We are changed from glory to glory into the very image of your Son. We thank you for what you're doing in our time. Continue to position our hearts to wait upon you, to hear your heart. Thank you so much for everyone on this line, Father. Give us ears to hear, eyes, oh God, to see, and an understanding heart what your Spirit is saying in this moment. And to you be all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for coming on the line. God has placed such a hunger in all our hearts, and our generation is really, really desperate for a move of God. Tonight, I want to share a kind of a prophetic word. I just want to share a scripture, but I want us to take it to prayerfully consecrate this word. As just discerning the times and the seasons we're in, and from what I'm personally, you know, experiencing, I just want to encourage you to prayerfully embrace this as a prayer point for this season that we're in. I want to read a few scriptures as we go into this time of sharing. I want to begin from the book of Ezekiel chapter 12. I want to read from verse 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Meaning the days are delayed and visions don't come to pass. They are postponed. Verse 23, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment or the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more delayed or postponed or prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and will perform it, says the Lord. Verse 26, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, so far off, and he prophesies of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged or postponed or delayed anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. Prophecies, when the Lord spoke to his servants in the Bible, the prophets, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. So, and because this word has spoken to mortal vessels, they speak as the Lord gives them. So, if you look at especially the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel, these are the major prophets. They spoke about things about their generation, about their time, but majority of the things they spoke about was for future generations and even generations of Jesus' days and generations that have to do our time. And some of them were even speaking of things that were also confirmed with the words that were spoken in the book of Revelation. So when they speak these words, you know, the specific generation they are living in sometimes will interpret the word as if it's just going to be that generation, it's going to happen that moment. So, and the prophets, some of them, when they receive these words, it appears to them that it's just going to happen. And sometimes, like this statement says, they will be prolonged or delayed because of the mercies of God. You know, when people pray, people cry out to God, they hear prophetic word, you know, they repent, God prolongs things. So, based on the mystery of how God deals with man, these prophets, they have to suffer a lot. And one of the instances was Jeremiah was literally crying at some point, literally just very frustrated with God, saying, you know, you made me look like a liar. I've been prophesying for 20-something years to these people and it's not come to pass. They are mocking him. They're just making fun of him. And it looks like everything. At one point, Jeremiah says, I will not speak the word of the Lord again. But he says, the word of the Lord is shut up in my bones like fire, and I cannot withhold it. So that's how much, even one time, Jeremiah almost cursed the day. He says, the day he was born, whoever brought the message of his birth, he was so frustrated. He was heavily so. It's almost like, so, but eventually, the things he spoke started coming to pass. Things, the warnings now expired, and now judgment came to Israel. They were taken into captivity. Things started happening. So all those years of warning, they never paid attention. So those kind of things happened to all the prophets. But here, Ezekiel went through a similar thing. He was assigned to the captives in Babylon, and he was prophesying and speaking and sharing with them the things God was showing to him. And, you know, but they would not believe. They were mocking. Some of these things were not happening the time that was expected. And they, if you read the rest of the scripture, the ones before and after, somebody, God told him, these people are speaking behind you, behind doors. They are mocking you. And, you know, so it was almost, you have to count the cost to be a prophet in those days, you know, because of where God will do things. So Ezekiel now at this point, you know, after going through a lot, now the Lord spoke to him and say, Ezekiel, I want you to now tell the people, because now the word of God has become, prophecy has become like a proverb. What is the proverb? The proverb is the people are now conditioned, they've now created a mindset. And the mindset was, if they hear prophecy, they say, let's just leave that. It's not going to happen in our time. You know, that's, this is word of God is delayed. It never happens. It never comes to pass. Maybe the next generation. We've heard it over and over and over and over. So the people developed a mindset and it became a proverb, a byword. So when they hear the word of the Lord, it doesn't make any sense anymore. It's another word. So they ignore it. They don't pay attention. So God now told Ezekiel, he says, now Ezekiel, tell them that I'm going to cause this proverb to cease. And I will do things that will make this proverb cease, because when I speak now, it will happen. So what does that mean? What is God saying to Ezekiel in this scripture? Now what the Lord is saying to Ezekiel in this scripture, the Lord also said it to Habakkuk. In the Habakkuk chapter 2. Because in Habakkuk, now God explained to Habakkuk what I just read to you, he's saying to Ezekiel. And we're going somewhere with this. So God told Habakkuk, because in Habakkuk chapter 1, Habakkuk was also prophesying. They were all waiting for fulfillment of prophecy. But as they were waiting, it's like the wicked was oppressing the righteous. Everything was going on good for the oppressors, and the Israel were suffering. So it was confusing, and God has been speaking, and nothing is happening, and it looks like the wicked is having their way. Where is God? They are praying. So Habakkuk was a prophet. He was frustrated. And he says, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? So finally, he went to pray. So in Habakkuk chapter 2, then God explained to Habakkuk, he says, write the vision down. For the vision is for a set time. It's for an appointed time. He said, though the vision tarry, that word tarry, if there's a delay, though the vision delay, he says, wait for it. That's a season of preparation. Wait for it. For it's for an appointed time. It will not delay. He says, when it the time comes, he says, the vision will not tarry. It will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. And then he goes further to explain why vision tarry. Because the heart is lifted up and all those stuff. So in Habakkuk, God is making it clear now that everything that God has spoken out of his mouth into the hearts of prophets, written down today for us to read, these are the words written, totally inspired by God. From Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them. Every one of these words will come to pass exactly the way God said it. But the thing is, God is saying every word that is a vision or a prophetic word will only come to pass in their appointed season. So, because we're human, we don't, sometimes we just assume this is the time, that is the time, and that's where the frustration always comes. So in 2 Peter, it was the same thing. The people were now despising prophecy. People were now living as they please. They were becoming sensuous. Everybody was thinking, oh, prophecies are what we've had forever. You know, none of this comes to pass. So they become sensuous. People become worldly. People become very careless, living from the fear of the Lord, because it looks like the words of the Lord are not coming to pass. So now, God spoke to Ezekiel, and that's why I read this, you know, about the seasons of the Lord. So, every prophecy, God has appointed the time and season for them to come to pass, the word of the Lord to come to pass. So, what I want to share with you tonight is to awaken and to awaken your spiritual consciousness, your spiritual sensitivity, not to be programmed by what has happened to Israel in the past. That we will watch and be looking at the times we live in, the seasons we live in, and we are seeing the things that are happening, and we see the conflicts, we see everything happening, we fold our hands and think, oh, things have always been this way. We've had this way. There's been all these rumors. There's been all these things. Not, it's just this is going to come to pass again and nothing will happen. So I just, this is the proverb. This is our mindset. So I want to share a little bit tonight with a few scriptures to help us begin to transition our mindset a little bit. To be a little bit more engaged by the Spirit of the Lord into the season we are in, and be open for God to invade your personal life, you know, with the fire of the Lord, you know, with the glory of the Lord, with his presence, and make you, sensitize you, how you can be praying into what is going on now in our cities, in our nations, and in regards to what the prophecies have been saying about the signs of the time. So we don't live carelessly and be taken by surprise. You know, there's a word that is very common in the Bible, is the word suddenly. You know, suddenly. That's how these things happen, suddenly. So I want to read some passages here about, tonight I'm speaking about the seasons of transition. The seasons of transition. I want to read, let me start from the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. I read here, it says from verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when the Lord will take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha, from Gilgal. So, and Elijah, verse 2, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and they said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yes, I know, hold your peace. And then Elijah said unto Elisha again, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. So they went through this process from Bethel, from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, from Jericho to finally to Jordan. So I want to read from here for time, from verse 12. From verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went, on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and they stood by to view afar. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou seest me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horseman thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he has also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now, verse 15. And when the sons of the prophet, which were to view at the Jericho, from Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah now rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Okay, I want to read another scripture before we go into this. This is here. There's a transition that was taking place here. It says, I'll read from verse. Now, Luke chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judah, and Herod being a tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturnia, and of the region of Trachonitis, like Lysonia and Tetral and Albania, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, and the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about River Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance. John was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough place shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. In Isaiah says, they shall see the glory of the Lord. And then I'll just jump, and then John was going through this and preaching, preparing the way for the glory of the Lord, for the transition, a time of transition. He was preparing the way. So all of a sudden, here in verse 15, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of his shoes, I am not worthy to unloose. He, the one that is coming, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Somebody has their speakerphone. Please, if you can turn off your speakerphone, that will help us. Thank you. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. With fire. So that's what the proclamation of John. John was preparing the way, and as he was preparing the way for the coming, for the transition, he said, he's baptizing them with water, but the one coming is going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, I want to read the rest of the scripture. Now, verse 21. Now when somebody is turning back their speakerphone again, that's why we're hearing the noise. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. The heaven was open. And this is what happened when the heaven opened. Verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for this moment you've given to us. Father, just open our understanding, our eyes, O God, to discern these times and the season. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's something about transition season and the preparation. There must be a preparation when you discern this season of transition. There must be a positioning of our hearts, a place of really, a place of really preparing for a transition, what God wants to do. And one of the transitional moments is, so for some reason, the part I want to use tonight is connected to water. To water. Water. And this water, in the natural, water in the natural, in this context was River Jordan. So River Jordan. So now, we start with Elijah. God has prophesied to the prophet. You know, there's a prophecy that God is going to take Elijah. They've been speaking it. And now Elijah is living that represents a move of God. And so everybody have heard about it. All the prophets have, the school of prophets, everybody, you can see it. The church in Gigo, the church in Bethel, the church in Jericho. All these people have heard that God was going to do something. Elijah is living and God wants to, there's a transition. So now, all these people, they heard it, but they didn't prepare for it. How was the preparation for transition for who the people that God is looking for to manifest, you know, to continue the move of God. Everybody heard about it, but they were content with where they were. They were content with the fruit they have on the ground. But here Elijah is living, and he's carrying the mantle with him. So Elisha, who has also been part of this disciple of Elijah and the school of prophets, he understood the season. But he not only understood the season, he positioned himself to receive something during that season. And what he did was he held on to Elijah. I'm not leaving you. So now, but here is a test. It's a test of baptism, water. So Elijah now took him to Jordan. When they got to Jordan, a supernatural thing happened. Elijah used his mantle and the water split in two, and they walked on dry ground. And when they walked on dry ground, that's where many people don't want to cross. They walked on dry ground and they went over to the other side, making it impossible for Elisha to come back without the supernatural. There's no way Elisha can come back. So basically, they cross that water is a form of baptism, but it's a baptism by water. So what is baptism? Okay, is Paul, you know, the Bible describes, well, no baptism, is a mention when you take somebody, you put him in water, and you bring him out again. That's what John the Baptist was doing. So, but this time, Elisha followed Elijah and experienced a parallel, a type of baptism, but it's water. They crossed over. So, and once you cross over, when you pass the water, you can't come back the same. You can't come back the same. So it's a laying down of the flesh and to come back by the Spirit. So Elijah crossed with Elisha, and as soon as he crossed, when you cross over, you begin to see in the Spirit. Your spiritual eyes are open. So during that season, all everybody heard that there's going to be a transition, but they were waiting. So Elijah crossed over through the baptism, and then when he crossed over, he was able to see in the Spirit, and then was able to receive the mantle. And then when he came back, he did not come back as Elisha that crossed the water. The Bible says the spirit of Elijah is now upon Elisha. And they recognized it because he came back not the way he left. So that is a type of baptism. Baptism, they say, we are buried with him. We died with him in baptism. And then we are risen with him in his resurrection. So that's a shadow in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus was to fulfill all righteousness. Again, Jesus manifest this mystery of baptism by water. Again, it's water. So here, John the Baptist was preparing the way for the next move of God. And it's a transition moment that came. And this transition moment, God told John the Baptist, you will see it, you know, the one that... So when the time came, John the Baptist has baptized everybody. All of a sudden, Jesus came and he baptized Jesus. And as soon as he brought Jesus off that water, the Bible says the heavens were open and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So at that very moment, heaven made an announcement. And that's, again, a mystery of baptism. You die. Baptism means you obey. It's a symbol. You die. And when you come up of that, you're raised in power. But with Jesus, this is what happened. Jesus is the Son of God manifested in the flesh. Is God manifested in the flesh. So all these 30 years, he's been living as the Son of Man. He's been walking as the Son of Man. No miracle. Nothing has happened. He's been waiting. He's been prepared. He's been trained. He's been waiting. Just preparing. So now a transition moment has come. He knew it. And John the Baptist was told about it. So as he was doing the baptism, At that very baptism, God was sharing again the mystery of baptism by water. Jesus was immersed in that water, and when he came up, he laid down the Son of Man and came up as the Son of God. You know, the anointing came. He said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And from that moment, came to the wilderness. And from that moment, the Bible says, he now entered into his public ministry, miracles, and everything started happening from that point. Why am I sharing this? Let me give you one more point about baptism by water. It's another situation again in Jordan, and this is water. Moses has carried this mantle for 40 years. Brought them out. He's been walking for 40 years. And now a transition season has come. Everybody knew the season has come. And so nobody knew how that was going to happen. But Joshua has been very connected to this transition process with Moses. So what happened is Moses died. Joshua chapter 1. And God now called Joshua to step into Moses' shoes. But as Joshua stood, God gave him a word. They're going to cross Jordan. This is a crossing again. And Joshua told them in the third day, as they cross Jordan, they will see a miraculous thing. And that God says, "I will magnify you. I will be with you as I was with Moses." Meaning that mantle of Moses will fall upon you and you'll lead the people into the promised land. And as they crossed that Jordan, the miracle happened. Again, there was a crossing over. The Jordan was part as they carried the ark and they crossed over. A kind of baptism. So, why am I saying this? We see a transitional moment that people have been prepared for in their generation. But that moment comes with a baptism, a transition, where you are no more, you come through a process where you no more live on the identity as the sons of man, which of course we are flesh and blood outwardly, but you begin to recognize and begin to activate and walk in the understanding of the sons of God or the children of God. You know, Jesus told Peter, he says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." When he says, "You're Christ, the Son of," say, "Based on this, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The revelation of sonship. So, Joshua went through that process to walk in that mantle and started leading the people. As soon as they crossed that Jordan, Joshua's eyes opened and he started walking with the help of an angel. Started experiencing things in the spirit and started getting directions from the Lord. I'm sharing this because John the Baptist said, "The one that is coming, he will baptize you. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So there's another baptism. This time it's not just the immersing of water. It's the baptism of a different kind of water. And this water is the immersing of being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Being soaked by the Holy Ghost and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, for you to know that the Holy Spirit also is a spiritual symbolism of water. In John chapter 7, when they were pouring water in the temple, Jesus says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." He said, this he spoke about the Spirit. But yet, you know, the Spirit has not been given. So we're talking about the river of life. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, it was a physical water. But we still saw the symbolism of transition moment. But now, John the Baptist says, there is another kind of baptism. And this baptism is with the river of the Holy Spirit. And with fire. Amen? So, we are in a moment, we are in a season. You know, I really believe from the things that the Lord has been showing, we shared last week and last 2 weeks about the rain, about the sound of the rain, about what God is about to awaken manifest the sons and daughters of God. I really believe we have come into a transitional season. And I believe the heaven is opening. And I want to encourage you, like Elijah, like the disciples of Jesus that pressed into that moment at the upper room. They tarried. They were seeking. Everybody else, they were drinking. They were partying because of the feast season. They were all doing all kinds of things. But Jesus spoke to, appeared to a lot of people. People knew it was a transition season. He told them to go wait for the moment. Many of them did not. Only 120 people did what Elisha did with Elijah. They went and waited. They tapped into that season. They went after the Lord. They pressed in for 10 days. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Again, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire? It means that you are literally invaded. Your life is invaded by the glory of the Lord. And when this happens, you are not the same. God opens your eyes. He awakens you. And you begin to realize that you are a born again believer. There's somebody in you that is greater than that which is in the world. Your spiritual senses are activated. You become more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. Things are broken off you. And you become somebody now that is more sensitive to the presence of the Lord and more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, especially in this hour. So maybe you've heard a lot in the past about, you know, God, revival, this or that. Revival, you might be waiting for it. You might be seeking for it. But I'm telling you, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere is ripe. Is the kind of prayer you need to pray. John the Baptist said he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Baptism means soaked, immersed. God invade you in a very with fire. When the fire of the Lord touched Isaiah, it destroyed iniquity in him. He awakened Isaiah to a new calling, to a place of boldness, a new assignment to minister to Israel. So I want to encourage, I want to challenge you. There is an open heaven. There is a transitional. When Elijah says, I hear the sound of rain. There is a window open right now. That let your prayer from this moment mean, God, baptize me afresh with your Spirit and with fire. Baptize me with the Spirit and with. He said, Jesus, when he comes, he will baptize, he will release his Spirit upon you and with fire. And what that baptism will do to you is what the same baptism did to Elisha when he crossed that water. When Jesus went, you know, God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire is God will cause you to begin to be more sensitive to the glory of the Lord. You will begin to see yourself having a deeper awareness, a deeper longing, a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit in the presence and the fire. That is available from this moment. And there's an increase. This is how the Lord showed it to me. People have been hearing this. People have been saying it. But I have experienced it. I have tasted this season. At least some drops of it. That's why I know it's real. And the way it is now, Ezekiel chapter 47. It says there was a river that came from the temple. And it started at the ankle. Then it went to the knee. Then it went to the waist. It went to the, you know, and then it became a river. So what I'm saying to you is, it doesn't mean that when you start experiencing what I'm telling you now, if you sincerely, with all your heart, go after it, that it might invade you completely, but something is going to break. Something is going to start. Even if it's a drop, but you know that your life is being invaded afresh by the living water of God. Your thirst for God, Well, you begin to know that God is now visiting his people. So I want to encourage you to set yourself apart. That's the positioning. Prepare the way. You know, search yourself. Is there anything in my life that will hinder me from receiving the glory of God, the fire of God? Is there anything that I need to repent of? Is there anything I need to let go? Am I holding anything? Is there anything that is so, you know, God, open my eyes, show me. God, make me ready for this moment. God, let me be, give me a surrender heart. God, open my heart for the invasion of your spirit. I don't want to be who I used to be. I don't want to remain the same person. I want you to empower me with the mantle for the assignment for these last days. I want you to empower me. Give me what I need to be what you want me to be in these last days. I want to be effective in my city. I want to be effective in the affairs of my nation. I want to be effective in these last days. I cannot do it without the empowerment, without the fire, without the river of your spirit. And the condition is, you have to really be desperate for it. And you have to believe that God is willing to give it to you. And it's happening even now. So I just want to pray with you and encourage you. Every one of you on this line, if you will consecrate yourself this season, if you will set yourself apart. John the Baptist says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way. You have to prepare the way for the glory of the Lord. And it's just nothing but just set yourself apart and begin to cry out, God, baptize me afresh. You know, he talks about the early and the former rain. God can send the rain again. God, I want you to baptize me. Soak me. Immerse me. Remove everything that is selfish, self-exaltation, anything that is not of you in my life. Let your glory, let your fire invade my life. And just bring me forth so that I can serve you with the right motive for my generation. My brothers and sisters, I encourage you, if you really want to know that what I've shared, you see that proverb says, God will cause that proverb to cease, that the things of God are far away, that God is far away, things are far away. God, no, he said the Lord is nigh thee, even in your heart. So, pray that prayer, begin to pray that prayer, make it one of your major prayer points, and you will start getting what you're asking for. No matter the little drops, but you will know the season of God's refreshing rain has come and God is visiting his people. And then the next thing is worship. Spend more time and just worship God. Just spend time when you are alone or you are with people. Just give yourself more to worship. Just begin to worship God more. You're going to be visited by the Lord. Just worship God more. This is the season of the visitation of heaven upon those who are desperate for a fresh encounter with God. So that's the prophetic word. We'll do more teachings on other areas as we go next week. But I wanted to release this prophetic prayer point today and see what God will do with those who are desperate enough to prove him based on this word. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing. We cannot remain the same. Father, we need you. And you are so much available. So we are asking you, even in this moment, grant us a true brokenness, a true repentance. Help us, O God, to prepare the way for your glory to invade our personal life and even invade our congregation. Father, may we completely abandon ourselves to you. Baptize us afresh that we will no more give room to the flesh, but we will let the sons of God come alive. God, thank you for what you're doing in this hour. Give us eyes to see what you're doing in this season. Give us eyes to understand the seasons the nations are in, oh God, and give us eyes to understand the season you brought your church into. And give us, oh God, the sensitivity to partner with your spirit on a daily basis as we walk with you into this new season. In Jesus' name, amen.